Live your life within the moment, moment. And don't go wait until the morning, morning.
Hello and welcome to our second Generation Gap Talk. How are you, Aaron, today?
I'm good, Jack. How are you?
I'm really well. The sun is shining. I'm up in the Midlands. And yeah, life's good. The sun's coming through my window. I'm feeling really positive and energetic about the short week again. Happy to be up in Reading on Friday for our work awards, which will be nice for GCS. And yeah, it'll be all good. It'll be all
fantastic.
Good.
And we've got our music now as an intro.
We have. I think it sounded really nice. We'll have to get some feedback from our listeners as well to see what they think about that. But yeah, I definitely think it allows us to start in an upbeat way. I definitely felt different coming into an intro in it as well, which was nice. So yeah, hello guys, for the ones that are obviously tuning in or re-watching this recorded after. This is the Generation Gap with Jack and Aaron from GCS as always. Today we've got a special guest with us. We are actually going to be focusing around physical fitness and the importance of it on our mental health, also linking it, like always, to the generation gap and the different maybe society expectations from a fitness standpoint, and then also linking it to corporate performance as well within the workplace. So I would like to introduce Josh, if he is with us now. Hello, Josh.
Hi, guys. How are you? Okay.
Brilliant, Josh. Welcome.
Thanks. All good. I'll hand it over to you. Obviously, our listeners are in. If you can introduce yourself and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So my name's Josh. I'm based just outside of Windsor. So I know GCS quite well through your Reading branch of offices. And I've been personal training and in the fitness world now for just over 10 years, graduating from school, going on to college and then studying there. I'm focused specifically now on working with football fitness and footballers to develop their skill set. But historically and previously to that, I worked a lot with corporate professionals like yourselves. I worked with you guys during the lockdown to help you keep fit.
Yeah, you beasted us. You beasted us weekly.
We only got that to a 2 or a 3. You want to see when that gets to an 8? That's when it's good. But what makes this more interesting, and the reason why I like working with the corporate world, is because I was once in the corporate world myself. So I understand the kind of time limitations that you guys get, the pressure that gets put on you. And also, you know, being realistic, I think it's good to be able to talk from a place now where I am. But it's also good to understand that it's very difficult to implement these habits that I'm trying to promote. And I think one thing that a lot of people misjudge is how long things actually take to develop in your life in a positive way. That's eating well, that's sleeping well, that's exercise. So by working with you guys previously and obviously talking on things like this, I just want to kind of be more realistic with the listeners about the time things are going to take to improve it in your life. And these quick fix diets and these quick fix get happy now schemes really are not realistic. And it's nice to hear that from someone like me that works in that world. So that's me. I work, like I say, every day I'm around fitness and well-being, so it's my life. But you know, can really relate to your guys and your schedules that you work to, because recruitment is, like I said before, Aaron, it really is a bloodthirsty industry. They do really, yeah, really want every morsel of you to get these deals over the line, which is why.
And I think I shared with you as well that certainly the older I get, the time just seems to disappear quicker, and it's so easy to use that as an excuse. You know, before you know it, it's like 6-7 o'clock in the evening, and all you've done is sit on your bum all day long. You mentioned there about it becoming habit. Give us some examples. So, you know, what is your experience of when it becomes habitual?
So I think that's a great question. And I think the thing that people need to really understand, and never more so in the corporate world, is the word realistic and what's realistic for you. I think we've been over this many times. People in January, they write this big, long list of what they want to achieve in the year of 2023, for instance. And, you know, you have a fantastic January, don't you? You say no to the after work drinks. You feel really entitled that you're going into the gym every day. And then that pay weekend might come in January where you think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to go for a nice meal with my other half, or I'm going to go out with my friends. And then all of a sudden, the 4 weeks that you've just worked incredibly hard on to get you to this point in your head seems to be a little bit undone. And then you might have a beer, you might have a glass of wine. And then you think to yourself, well, I mean, the gym, I don't have to go five times next week. Maybe if I just go three, because it's cold and because I've got work to do. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's March. Like you said, time goes very fast. You blink and you're kind of, your gym membership's gathering dust. The protein shake mixer that you brought on Amazon in January is at the back of the cupboard when it was at the first bit. Your healthy eating is out the window. You're back in Subway at lunch, or you're back in McDonald's on a Friday. So my advice, my big advice, is always start small. Always start really, really small. You know, if we're going to look at...
Are we talking chocolate small? Are we...
We are. We're talking anything that you think you want to achieve. Rewind it five or six steps back and see how you get on with that. Because people are in a rush to get fit now, to look better now. And again, going back to your point on social media, that doesn't help. You know, the generation that we're in now, we want to all look like this fitness model that you see scrolling from Miami. My advice, and the one thing, is start small. And going back to the point on habits, that's how you create good habits. Can I give you an example? If you drink five cups of coffee a day, for instance, and you want to watch that because you're starting to not sleep very well and it's starting to really affect your mood, you know, cutting coffee out is going to be a nightmare for you because you're clearly addicted to it. You clearly function on it and it's clearly a part of your life. So my advice on that specific would be, can you cut that back to only three cups a day? If you're at five, go to three. See how that looks for you. At the gym, if you join a gym, don't go 5 days a week. Why would you? Because you didn't go 5 days a week before. So why would you start now? How about going 2 days a week, but making sure that the 2 days you go, you stick to going every single week for at least a month, and then talk about increasing that.
But that's one of the things that you mentioned there, sorry, Jack, but one of the things that you mentioned there as well is the quick fix. Everybody is desperate for a quick fix. And Jack, you and I started talking about this before, because about the role models that are out there on the social media. And you're also, you know, an ex-footballer, etc. So, you know, the intensity around us to try and obviously get quicker results in the fastest possible way is also the downfall.
Absolutely. And it's actually quite interesting you mentioned that, because it's the same in recruitment, I found. When I stepped foot into a recruitment office myself, kind of, I think it was in 2016 is when I worked briefly in recruitment, I was overwhelmed by the people making money within that office. But what they didn't tell me was the 4 or 5 years of cold calling and doors getting shut. I just saw the guy jump around the office saying he's just landed a deal that's going to pay for his holiday with his girlfriend. What I didn't see is the tears that he cried and the lonely evenings in the office on his own. And it's the same principle with fitness. It's the same principle with anything. And I must say, in recruitment, one thing you guys are, you're extremely resilient and you are thick-skinned as humans, because you have to deal with so much rejection and so much pushback. So I think out of everyone, salesmen and recruiters and saleswomen and anyone within that industry where you're on a commission structure and, you know, time is money, I think you are the people that really will benefit from having some structure in your lives with regards to health and fitness, because you're clearly resilient and know what you want. You know what you want.
I agree.
So that's, you know, and it's funny, Jackie, do you say you're an ex-footballer?
Once, many moons ago, yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I found in recruitment, there was a lot of ex-athletes. There was a lot of ex-military as well, because they are understanding the levels and work rate. We had a few people come into the office. that were straight from maybe college, and they kind of failed very quickly because they hadn't experienced life is not easy. And I think that's very important. So the good news to anyone listening to this that works in where you guys work or any space like that is that you're kind of, you've already got that in you. You don't even know it yet. You just channel it in a very different way. You channel it into your work. But that commitment and dedication is what you need in your health and well-being as well.
I totally agree. I just on that, I think prioritization is super important. I think if we look at, because I know previously I've been guilty a bit myself, we say I've not got time. I've not got time. The day's really short, and the day gets on top of us. I think you've got time for what you want to have time for. I think there's always going to be time in the day. It's what you one value and what you prioritize. And and just going back to the habit section, Josh, I love reading. And I recently read a book called The Habit Loop and The Power of Habit. And it talks about the different kind of structure and sections of what a habit actually is, kind of going from the cue, the routine, and the rewards. Now, within the corporate setting, or just the generation gap, if we bring it back to the generation gap, do you see any differences in, for example, my generation to Aaron's generation or older of how to achieve that success of different habits or implementing them? Because I'm sure my focus might be different to someone of an older age who's maybe, you know,
steady.
Got some medical, I didn't say you, Aaron, so don't worry, might have some medical issues or, you know, have been prescribed by the doctor to go to the gym and also implement that within their corporate world as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I do think there's a generational gap for sure in lots of things. But one thing I would say is, you know, regardless of the generation and anything like that, the element of why, you know, the why needs to be big enough. And I think if your why is big enough, you will find a way. You need help. I think people of Aaron's generation, one thing I notice with them is they are more inclined to ask for help than people of your generation. I can only assume me and you, Jack, are probably of a similar age. Either that or I've got it wrong. But I can imagine you're mid-20s. Is that right?
I am 25,
mid-20s. Well, I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 32, but I knew you were younger.
Me too. You're in Aaron's age group then.
Oh, that's
so yeah. So, I find that the older you get, the more stubborn you tend. The more prepared you are to kind of receive help. So the younger you are, the more you think you know it all and you can do it yourself. You know, it's no surprise that my personal training diary is full of people. And again, Aaron, don't take this the wrong way, because I know you're not this old, but they're kind of 45 to 60 years, because they're fed up of trying to do it on their own. And I think the first thing with anything is asking for help. I'm very stubborn. You know, in my personal life, my to-do list, I've had on there for the past year, go and find a PT for myself. So I can't even take my own advice on this. And I've been kind of been a bit like, well, I do exercise every day. No, I need to work on certain things that need help. So the big answer to that question is the generational gap. Yes, there is a difference. Your generation, Jack, are less up for asking for help than Aaron's, because the generation that you are in and younger of that social media generation is, we can cut a corner, you know. And it's the same with work. It's the same with everything. Well, we don't need to work like we used to 20 years ago, go and get a degree and maybe graft, because I can do it all if I become an online celebrity or if I start buying things from China and selling them on Amazon.
So,
whatever you want to do, there's this mentality of you could be anything you want with the younger generation. And it's a fantastic mentality to have, because it's making people drop out of school to chase their dreams a little bit more. And it's making them really, really, you know, you can be whatever you want, but there has to be a boundary to that, because realistically, you can't be whatever you want because there's bills to pay and there's a future to create. Yeah. So going a little bit off track, I know the big thing is you need to be prepared to let someone in to help you on certain things, because you can't do it on your own. Certainly at the start, you might create the habits that you can carry on, but you're in a dark room. You need someone to shine the light in some direction for you.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. I think you've covered some really cool points that I definitely think if we had more time, we could speak for hours about, especially about the generation gaps. I know, this is why we're doing the program, right? Is to cover to different topics like this. I think the next question, moving on from that then, if we're looking within a corporate environment, obviously not just recruitment, just in general, the benefits of exercise. Like if I was, you know, if I'm a 40-year-old guy and I'm working in London and I'm working 10-hour days and I've got the excuse of I've not got time, I've got bills to pay, I need to get home to see my family.
Yeah.
How important is exercise to my personal life performance? Not just maybe at home, but also in a career. How can you kind of sum that up for us?
It's paramount. It's vital. And you don't know how important it is until you have it in your life, because you feel that you're on top of your work. You feel that you're present. You feel that you're making the deals that you should be making and your boss is happy and the quota's being hit. But you're doing all that whilst not exercising and keeping yourself at the best you can be. You're fooled. It's like, you know, my car with three wheels is the best car in the world. I don't know what it's like to drive a car with four wheels, but if I did, I'm sure that would be the best. So my overriding point is you're scientifically and completely and utterly wrong to think that you are performing the best you can without exercise in your life. It's the studies are there to show how productive exercise is. And again, if we had longer on this thing, I could reel off hundreds of reasons, but I'll give you my five top ones just as a highlight. Your mood is naturally better after exercise. Again, it's a scientific fact. Your body releases endorphins that get released when you either take drugs or are drunk. So you're getting those for free through doing something that your body is thanking you for. There's number one. Your mood is naturally increased because you've been out in fresh air if you're going to do exercise outside. And if you're in a gym, you are around other people trying to level up and improve themselves. So you're already around people that want to improve. A gym is a place of people that want to get better. In any business, you can always do better. There's always another deal to get. There's always another step you can take. So already you're surrounding yourself there. Number three, studies are proven, and I can tell you categorically, that getting away from your laptop and whatever issue you might have, may it be a business that need a deal over the line, may it be a candidate that needs to get their CVs in on time, taking a breath away from that and getting away from the fire and seeing something else is always going to help you clear up your mind. Because
it's like a reset button, isn't it?
We know that. Number four, it's going to help with your sleep. Exercise is proven to help with your sleep. So if we're sleeping in more of a deep state, we're getting a better sleep. We're going to be more productive the next day. You might say you're sleeping 7 hours a night, but how good is that level of sleep you're getting? Because again, without going too much into it, there are lots of different ways we sleep. And the one that we want is the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep. That's when you're reproducing memories and refreshing your brain and getting any toxins out of your head away. I don't even know the ins and outs, but I know that REM sleep is the best one. You can only achieve that sleep by being tired enough to get that sleep. And that comes through exercise. And my fifth and final reason is, I don't care what anyone says, there is no feeling better than feeling that you've just achieved doing something that you have to push your body to the limit to achieve. If that's getting on a treadmill for half an hour, if that's lifting weights for half an hour, you've put your body through something that it hasn't had in that day, you're going to feel better for it.
Is there a certain time of day that you think works best, certainly in the corporate world as well?
Yeah, I always recommend you work out before you go to work. Always. Okay. Because I think that after work, there are too many excuses that you can tell yourself. Limit. You will learn on your journey of exercise when works best for you to exercise. You'll learn. I'm about to go to the gym after this because from 3 till 4, I have a spare hour. And I know when I go and coach children tonight, I need to be the best version of myself. And I can only be the best version of myself when I've done my workout because I need to feel good to deliver to other people. Now, if you've got candidates and clients to speak with, you want to be the best version of yourself. When's that going to be? Is that going to be after work or is that going to be before work? You do it before work, you're a better person throughout the day. But you might want to look forward to doing the workout during the day. So you might want to have something to look forward to at the end of the day. The risk you run when it's at the end of the day is life happens in those 8-9 hours you're at the office. And life can really knock that bit off at the end. Stress, emergency, got to run to London to close a deal, got to take a call from 7 from a candidate. This candidate's going to get the job, can't go to the gym. You might get bad news. Don't want to go to the gym, can't be bothered. I'm annoyed. I've just lost $5,000 in a deal that I thought I had. There's too many risks. Yeah. Don't turn your phone on. Get straight to the gym, 7 a.m. or whenever it needs to be.
Is there a difference for male, female, different generations, etc., with regards to the best way to get performance out yourself at certain times of the day, Josh?
Not that I've been comfortable or familiar with talking about. As in, there's not enough proof for me to say yes or no on that. I can tell you one thing. If you work in a corporate or stressful environment, though, then my advice is always, like I said at the start of that, and that is proven, because too many of my clients have said, oh, I'm going to cancel tonight's session, mate. I've had a rubbish day. I'm going to go for a beer instead, which we all know. No, I'm not even a beer at the end of the day is lovely. We're all human. Mm-hmm. But is it the best? Are you going to thank yourself for doing that? Is your future self going to be grateful for you doing that to your body? And the generational thing, again, it's just about how much discipline. I know 14-year-olds that are disciplined to become professional footballers, and I know 75-year-olds that have been fit all their life that are disciplined. I think it's about personal circumstance.
I totally agree, and I think, again, depending on their why as well, like you said at the start, is the most important thing at all of this. And now, to stay on this topic a bit more, what I don't want to do is kind of restrict our listeners to thinking that, you know, a workout might have to be an hour long or 2 hours out of their life all day, especially for a busy guy like myself. You know, I get up in the morning, I have my personal routine. I like to do my yoga in the morning, and then personally, I actually run at the end of the day after work to release everything after work. And that's just what works for me. But talk to us about timings in regards to how long does a workout have to be? Because a busy guy like Aaron, he might not have time to actually, you know, spend 45 minutes to an hour to the gym and getting it done. How can we implement that sort of stuff?
A workout is anything from 10 minutes to 2 hours. There's no set time. If a workout for longer than half an hour is going to be an issue for you, very, very simply, go onto YouTube and type in 10-minute workouts. We've never had more accessibility to what we've got. You know, back in the day, it used to be go and buy a fitness DVD that's going to go on for 5 hours and you've got to watch the whole... No, there's no excuse anymore. There's too much out there on your Instagram, on your YouTube, you know, to just do that. And then what will start to happen is you will do 10 minutes, you'll do 15 minutes, and your body will start to say, come on, we can do a little bit more than this. Let's take it to 20 minutes. Then believe me, you start to make the time. You will create the time. That call can wait. That train, I can get the next one after that. Because you've also got to want to do it. And a lot of people from a standing start, they don't want to. They have to. They feel that they have to. So my advice to you is, a workout is start small. Why don't you walk to the gym from work and do a 15-minute workout? So you've got your walk, which is your warm-up, and then your 15-minute workout, which is the workout, and then you leave. Get into little habits like that. And at least then at the end of the week, you can say to yourself, I did 5 workouts this week. They were only 10 minutes, but that's 50 minutes of exercise. You compound that to 52 weeks. My maths isn't great, but whatever that is, 50 times 52 is something around 2,500 minutes of exercise.
10 minutes, yeah. And high intensity, even a short, you know, amount of time, we can still really get that heart rate pumping. And
without sounding like an antidote, sorry, one last thing for the listeners, right. Without sounding like, the only question you've got to ask yourself, the only question is, am I doing more today than I did yesterday? And even if that's by 10 minutes, 5 minutes, if the answer is yes, great. If the answer is no, have a look at it. That really is that simple.
Cool. Listen, we're out of time. Josh, many thanks. We can find you on Instagram. I think we can share. There you go. Betty, very kindly just put your anchor on there. So really great to have you on. We will have you on again because there's so much more that we can talk about. Always a pleasure. And thanks to anybody that's also participated. So great to see you and thanks see you again next week.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for your time.
Take care. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.